Welcome to CVUUF's 16th year of Chalice Players. We take you back today to the 1960s. It's a difficult story because the participants in this presentation are not your usually well-known UU people like Thoreau, Emerson, or Brown, whom we've done in the past by Chalice Players. These two gentle souls really had a difficult time trying to transition in the period of change, let's put it that way, in the UU. And what they did was they learned that in the period of turmoil, the late 60s, it was a hard time to reconcile a lot of the differences that were going on. So we welcome you to this presentation, and we are very proud to present A Welcoming Congregation, Times Change.
The importance of telling the story of James Stoll and Leland Bond Upson is to highlight the development of the gay rights movement within Unitarian Universalism. Before James Stoll came out in 1969, less than 12% of UUs supported gay rights. Times change. Now that is over 99%. CVUUF welcomed the opportunity when asked to participate with the Kineo Valley Pride Festival Committee this past year. We were just thrilled at the turnout at the Kineo Valley Pride Festival. There were over 2,000 people from the surrounding area that participated. Everywhere I looked, I saw people from this fellowship out there. And it wasn't just because I was tending bar. You know who you are. I was very proud of the Out of the Closet booth that we sponsored, giving away donated clothing to anyone in need. At one point, I saw a young man take a pair of red satin shoes, run to the main stage and dance away the afternoon, making me very happy it went to a worthy person. Participating in this event led me to delve into the history of gay pride and Unitarian Universalism and helped to create our presentation today. James Lewis Stoll was the first minister of a major religion to come out as gay. In 1969, he was the first openly gay Unitarian minister. Leland Bond Upson, another UU minister who was not gay, became his lifelong friend. Their friendship stretched from Colorado to Hawaii to San Francisco and back to Monterey. For 30 years, James and Leland worked together on many social justice issues, including black rights, marijuana reform. But the true legacy that James left us with was his 1970 manifesto on gay rights, which became the platform for the UUA position on LGBTQ. The words from Reverend Leland Bond Upson's eulogy for his dear friend James Stoll in 1994 begins our story.
My feelings for Jim were complex when he died. He was the strongest and weakest person I ever knew. I kept asking myself how a person as caring and sensitive could also waste the best of himself. We trained to become leaders of our community where we were called. We planned our weekly sermons, dedicated lovely children, and supported the sadness of others during funerals, year in and year out, hoping that maybe we were doing some good. What happens when a minister is not able to make wise decisions in his or her personal life? The cruelty of losing a pulpit and being denied another is devastating. It is a closed door that can make a person's life spiral downward into a cruel parade of false expectations. Such was the case for my friend Jim. I remember our discussions about him coming out.
There you go again. How many times do I have to tell you I'm not one of those guys that's going to walk the line? I learned that back in prep school when I got kicked out for having too many rendezvous with the pale boy across the hall. Continued on when our draft numbers came up too. You know, I knew there was no way that I was going to become another casualty in that friggin' war. Of course, after about 2 years and no one coming after me, I thought, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? And becoming a Unitarian minister was at the top of the list. I figured as a conscientious objector and a minister, my voice would be heard.
Yeah, you know, we were all against that war, but you were bigger than that war. First marching with Dr. King and Selma, and then taking on the Department of Ministry on Beacon Street. You never looked back, did you?
Of course I did. Always. Come on, it was just another way of looking in the mirror when being honest with yourself. Remember that trip to Colorado Springs when I came out? There was one to put in my social conscious memory book. Yeah. I remember by the time I got to Camp Lafort and the VW Fastback that I was met by a group of people that were ready to argue politics and religion. I was in my element. I figured along with, you know, all the singing and chanting, with any luck, I'd find somebody to bed down with. God, I love the headiness of that time. Oh, all those LR wires running around, the liberal religious youth playing their guitars and singing their hearts out at the Continental Conference of the Student Religious Liberals. It was a time in my life that just sat in my memory. It was like it was pierced, shot by an arrow into the bullseye. Oh, I knew it was the right time to come out that evening. The stars were in alignment.
Yeah, I remember when we came from San Francisco that night, I was not prepared for our long discussion about it.
Oh, we had been sitting around discussing the death of Senator Everett Dirksen. And then we heard about the death of Ho Chi Minh, another icon of the time, when we were about to have a moment of silence for Ho when we heard some horse's derriere braying in the back. Ho, 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 Ho Chi Minh! Like, wow, heavy man, you said in mockery before you got serious with me.
Thumbs up. Far out, man. What's the worst that can happen if you don't tell?
Well, everything will be the same except for me. I won't know that I'm being honest with myself, and I can't do that anymore, Lee.
The opposite could happen. You know, there is no way of telling what will materialize if this freeing of your soul fails. What if you lose your ministry? What will your life be like if you can't find a pulpit? Where will you go when you find all those homophobic attitudes spinning against you? You know, using the Q word is as bad as using the N word almost everywhere today. You could be facing a proverbial gallows.
No, I'll say it one more time. If the revolution we're in means anything at all, it means that we have the right to be ourselves without shame or fear. Lee, I was queer as a kid. I'm queer now. And here's a newsflash. I'm going to be queer all the way out the door. No, I mean, really, it's not a choice, and I'm not ashamed of myself. I'm going to be my queer self in public, and that's just the way it is. Remember that line from Love? We're all normal, and we want our freedom now. Well, that's what it's all about for me.
What does it matter if the whole world knows? We've known for a long time. If your closest friends are okay with your sexual choice, what does it matter if the powers on Beacon Street can't accept it?
No, I don't understand. I talked to five people before you got here, and they all are willing to support me. Why won't you? You're my closest friend. You mean more to me than all of them put together. Are you afraid they're going to think you're queer too?
Hello?
Hey. It's good to hear your voice.
Mutual. I heard the news about the loss of your pulpit. Sorry, man.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I kind of had a bit of a death wish going on with the UUA. They heard about some of my behavior at non-congregational parties, and in addition to that, they also heard about some of my behavior with some of the young men from the congregation. And, the death knell was they also heard about some of my experimentation with drugs with some of the young men with the congregation. And I wish I could say, really, that wasn't true. I mean, Lee, it's a rough time in my life, and I have a lot of regrets, but I can't deny it.
So what's your next move?
First, I have to ask you for a little bit of monetary assistance, my friend. I am broke. I've been looking into getting another gig with the UUA, but so far the Department of Ministry has not been exactly friendly about the idea.
So this is how communism is supposed to work. The rich support the needs of the poor. I remember those discussions vividly.
Yeah, well, that's the hell of it. Sometimes we are in need of a future that is supported by people that believe in us. This country is so hung up on capitalism. It's the white man's burden. It's the destiny of this planet, and you know that to be true. Well, now is the time to stand up for your beliefs, old man. I need help.
You turn my ideas around so easily. You have such a tortured mind about this government. Jim, are you still there?
Yeah.
You know how much you mean to me. I believe in you, but you're digging yourself into a rut. Why don't you file for unemployment? or maybe just start looking for a job that can utilize your abilities. Ever thought of social work?
Look, man, I don't want to hear a sermon right now about what a great person I am or all the opportunities that are ahead of me. I am in serious financial straits. Do you get it? I am 3 months behind in my rent. I'm about to lose my health insurance. I can't feed my dog, much less myself. I've started going behind dumpsters at restaurants looking for food.
Why did you wait so long?
Hell, I don't know, Lee. I thought the UUA was going to give me another opportunity. My friend's telling me they're ready to kick me to the curb for good, but I still have to get resumes out and I still have to live. Look, we always talked about the need of supporting people when they are in great need. Well, I'm turning to you out of fear of not only being hungry, but worst, homeless.
I will send you a check tomorrow. My feelings are divided about this, as you know. But may you find your way out of this? Stay clear of those guys at the old UU. Promise me you will.
Oh, they don't come around anymore now that there's no alcohol or drugs to consume. I'm very grateful to you, Lee. You're a good friend. I'll always remember this.
As I sat up late that night, talking to my girlfriend, who later became my wife, I repeated why I had to help Jim. This man is a mighty strong personality in my life. He had me reading Tennessee Williams before people had heard the gay playwright's words. I remember him repeating a line from The Glass Menagerie when Amanda stated, "Life is hard. It calls for Spartan endurance." For Jim, it meant taking on the world like a freaking gladiator. It calls for understanding. He would repeat, one person understanding another. And then he would always give the last part of the speech with a flourish, and for some, a measure of sacrifice too. That was the key phrase for Jim. I had to give him the money as my measure of sacrifice for our friendship, or I was not a person to be relied on. I remember her look as she listened to me run on. But she refrained from commenting, except shaking her head. She knew that Jim was using me. But it was all I could do.
I can't help it. I'm guilty. I did say you were my lover.
You had no right to do that. You know it's not true?
Well, even though we were that close until somebody knocked at the door one night?
Look, we've had this discussion before. I thought it was finished for good.
No. There was that knock at the door.
Damn it, Jim, you have a way of remembering your own level of reality when it's convenient. Is it the next morning when you woke up and created this perception of forgetting what really happened?
I do remember that night. I remember the night that I just wanted to kiss him. I was lonely, so I made it up. All I wanted, all I cared about was having a life with love. All the other relationships that I had been in were shallow and empty, and I just wanted to create that life with someone special. But the times being what they were, it just wasn't going to happen. So I always came back to him. My favorite moment of the evening was when he said, "Jim, cut it out. It'll be fun. I promise," I remember saying. Then there was a knock at the door. We just looked at each other. End of scene. I just never gave up hope, I guess.
That is the difference between us. I never wanted to hurt you, but I knew I was not going to get involved with you then or ever. I wish I could have said I loved you. That would have made it easier. Things evolve if people want them to. I just never felt that for you. You tried to make me into something I wasn't. The truth is, as sad as James' history unfolds, and as difficult as his life transitioned, he is our lesson on acceptance today. Another of Tennessee Williams' quotes comes to mind: "Very few people learn until late in life how much courage it takes to live." Jim didn't learn it early, and it wasn't very easy. Just like a lot of people who become entwined in a web of memories that do not happen and bills that do not get paid, we as friends and family are forced to reckon with our actions on how to help them. A local restaurant, there was no long-term partner at Jim's bedside when he was dying of problems with his liver and digestion. But he was surrounded by dozens of his dear friends. A local restaurant sent over his favorite lobster dinner. And we dined on seafood soup. We laughed and talked about the good old days, listening to the music of our days together. He was a tragic figure, to be sure. But he was also a man to be remembered for his honesty about his sexuality.
James Stoll became a pivotal mover in Unitarian Universalism to help us raise awareness about not only gays, but all people. He authored the 1970 resolution that is in your order of service today. We here at this fellowship became a welcoming congregation in 2005, 11 years after James' death. We are proud of our LGBTQ alignment today. But 50 years after James Stoll came out, we have some tough questions to ask ourselves. Are we willing to take responsibility for those people among us who feel they cannot operate openly in our society? Are we critical of who our ministers are in their personal lives? Are we able to pledge ourselves to see those that are different as equals? As we say, the quest for truth is our sacrament, and I believe that we will continue to learn and grow together and hopefully find the answers to these questions with love and compassion. Times change.